We are somewhat transitioning from Christmas back to Hebrews, and I debated whether I was going to continue with my Advent Christmas series this morning or whether I was going to jump back into Hebrews, and I decided to continue because I kind of liked Simeon. And so we're in Luke, looking at events which take place a week after the birth of Christ, which is kind of fitting for today, and then 40 days after the birth of Christ. And when Jesus was born, the system that Mary and Joseph and all of the people were involved in, the religious system of the Jews, had a lot of rules, a lot of rituals that needed to be followed. And we frequently kind of belittle the ritual. We look down on the fact that they were caught up in the law, they were caught up in the ritual and everything. And yet, those rituals all served a purpose. These were things that God established. And at some points, maybe people were just kind of going through the motions. It didn't mean anything to them. But a lot of these things God put in place, and they had significant meaning. And the fact that Mary and Joseph were very careful to follow the law with regard to Jesus is an important thing. Because Jesus was born under the law. That he's born as a Jew. He's born into a people who had a covenant relationship with God. That they had a relationship where there were obligations on their part that they were to do that God had asked of them. And so, for them to ignore that, for Mary and Joseph to have ignored any of that ritual that we kind of look down on sometimes would have been a disobedience to God. And it would have not been true to who Jesus came to be. Because Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior, the one who was sent to fulfill the righteous requirements of the law, to satisfy what the law was established for. And he satisfied the law on the cross. But until that time, the law was in force. And until that time, keeping the law was what God required of his people. And so the rituals that went on here, the things that happened with Simeon and presenting Jesus in the temple and the circumcision, everything is necessary for who Jesus is. It is necessary for him to be righteous under the law. And so we come to the traditional thing that eight days after the birth, we have the circumcision. And this is the normal Jewish requirement that on the eighth day, you were to bring the male child. They were to be circumcised, and that's when they gave them their name. And so the law that's been established clear back, and we can go clear back to Genesis chapter 17, and this is Abram. At this point, he's still Abram. He's not even Abraham. And, you know, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly." And so God calls out to Abraham, Abram, changes his name to Abraham. And then in verse 9, he says, "And God said to Abraham, As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout your generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male child in your generation, he who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant, and so on. 8 days old. That the requirement was something that was going to happen at that point. Now, there's occasionally been some speculation. The 8 days conveniently puts one Sabbath in there. There's always a Sabbath. Now, this is before the establishment of the seventh-day Sabbath in the law, but the tradition existed by that point already. And so there's the 8 days. It gives you always a Sabbath before that time. And that requirement for the circumcision is reiterated in Leviticus, as in the law. And so we have this sign of the covenant, and Jesus, under the covenant, under the law, has the sign. And so he's brought to be, it says in Luke, chapter 2, verse 21, and when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angels before he was conceived in the womb. Now, there's your 8 days. And this is probably done in Bethlehem. This is probably before they've traveled anywhere. And the events then that take place, now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem. Now, this second presentation, this time of purification, this is dealing with the time that the mother is considered unclean after the birth of a child, before she's able to worship normally again. And again, we go to Leviticus, and we go to Leviticus chapter 12. We've got the law laid out here regarding all of these rules that have to do with the childbirth. And Leviticus chapter 12 says, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman is conceived and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, as in the days of her customary impurity she'll be unclean, and on the 8th day the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Then she shall continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. She shall not touch any hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary, until the days of her purification are fulfilled. So there's this time after the birth of the child where the mother was considered ritually unclean. And at the conclusion of that time, then, again, still in Leviticus chapter 12, verse 6, when the days of her purification are fulfilled, whether for a son or a daughter, she shall bring to the priest a lamb of the first year as a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her, and she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who is born a male or a female. And if she is not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, one as a burnt offering and the other as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for her, and she will be clean. So the ritual that makes her clean, makes her able to worship again, is being carried out here when they come up to the temple, and she's gone through the 33 days. It's the 40th day, and it's interesting that in Luke chapter 2, we have in verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Because the sacrifice, of course, full sacrifice would have involved the lamb. And here we have them offering the poor person's sacrifice. And I've seen some recent things that have talked about, you know, well, Joseph probably was pretty well off because he was a builder and all of this and a lot of things. And I get thinking about that we see in Scripture that they brought the poor person's portion. And whatever we may speculate about economic conditions and the construction work that was going on in the area and the Romans pouring all this money into shovel-ready projects to build infrastructure, whatever, and he would have made a fortune on that. That's obviously not the case. You know, our authority is what the Scripture says, not what we could speculate. And they brought the poor person's portion, and so they were not able to afford the lamb. But now they come into the temple, and they bring the child. They make the offering to make the sacrifice, and we get a little bit of a vagueness in the story here, kind of unusual for Luke, because usually he's pretty clear on these kinds of things. Who is Simeon? We come into the temple, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This is just a jump that Simeon is somebody. He lives in Jerusalem, and all we have is his name. And he's there, and it says that he was just and devout, or depending on your translation, it might be righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so here we have a man in Jerusalem, and as is seems to be very traditional with a lot of the early believers, and particularly within the early Jewish Christians, they have to come up with a description of who these people are. There has to be an explanation. And they don't always agree. And we have to recognize that when we have these extra biblical descriptions of who somebody is, that's kind of a teaching aid, I think, that they've used to help you remember people better. You made up a backstory for them. And they've done that for all the prophets and everybody throughout Scripture. The Jews have backstories on everybody. A lot of them are made up long after the fact, simply to give them a more memorable character so that people learn them better and know more about them. The point on Simeon, we frequently think of Simeon as a priest, and yet nothing in what he does here designates him as a priest. Nothing is said that he's a priest. And the tradition among the Jewish Christians said that he was maybe a priest or a son of a priest or some way in that group. But it's, again, pretty vague. What matters is that Simeon was just or righteous and devout. He was somebody who looked for God's righteousness, who was looking and seeking after God's plan for his people. And he's someone who is devout. He is devoted to God. His attention is on God. And so Simeon is one of those people whose life centers around God. He is focused on what God is doing, and he's looking for the answer to all of these prophecies that have been made through the years. And he receives a revelation. It says that the Holy Spirit was upon him, and that in this context probably means that he was someone who was recognized as a prophet, someone who had an insight that God spoke through him. And it says it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon had gotten a message that God was going to bring the Messiah in his lifetime. That would be an incredible revelation. You think about that. In our context, if God spoke and you heard God speak to you and God told you that he's coming back before you die. And we live in a state where we're not sure. We don't know. Is the Lord returning this afternoon? Is he returning next week? Is it next year? Is it 1,000 years from now? We don't know. And we live in this state where we are prepared, we're waiting, but we don't know. But if God said to you, He's going to come in your lifetime, suddenly your life is different. Suddenly there is an intensity in what you do. There is a focus in how you worship. Suddenly everything is different in your relationship toward God and toward the world. And Simeon has heard the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer is going to come in your life. And when Simeon hears that, his focus is going to change and he's going to be more devout. He's going to be more intense in his relationship with God. And because of that, he hears when the Holy Spirit speaks to him, and the Spirit speaks to him and tells him to go into the temple on this day. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. God calls him, this is your day, go to the temple. And so Simeon goes to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. Simeon was sitting in the temple waiting. And there's a lot of people who live in Jerusalem, and a lot of people come to Jerusalem to offer their children before the Lord. This is a requirement of the law that the firstborn child belongs to God. The firstborn child is given to God and is brought before God and is redeemed back by sacrifice. And so people were always bringing their babies, these 40-day-old babies were constantly being brought to the temple. And so out of this group, there's lots of families coming in on any day. You would have a number of them. Mary and Joseph come in, and Simeon knows this is the one. Again, God reveals to him, this is the one, and Simeon hears that, and he blesses God, and he takes the child in his arm. He's not doing the priest's work here. This is just Simeon responding to what God has given him. He takes the child in his arm, and he gives this blessing. And first of all, he says, Lord, you can let me die now. It's okay. I can die. Now, it doesn't mean that Simeon is old. He could be young. I mean, maybe he's 20 years old. You know, whatever. We don't know. But he hears this message. He meets Jesus. He knows that this is the Christ. And he says, I can die now. I can die now because you have revealed to me what you said you would. The thing that you promised has come to pass. You didn't say that I would see the salvation of the world. You didn't say that I would see the establishment of your kingdom. You said that I would meet the Lord's Christ. And here he is. That's all the promise, and that's all he needed. God had promised. God had brought it to pass. And Simeon was satisfied. And Simeon then says, you have prepared this before all the people. Now, we were just singing this hymn. We have a story to tell to the nations. And it's just that hymn just kind of fell out as what we need to think about here, because this is the thing that I see in Simeon's prophecy that is so great. Is that here is Jesus under the law, presented according to the law, going through all of this Jewish stuff. He's a Jewish Savior, a Jewish Messiah. And yet, here's the message, is you have prepared this before all people. This is not something that is just for the Jewish corner of the world. He is a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. And he is the glory of your people Israel. The point of Israel, the purpose of Israel, The entire reason why God set up this covenant with Abraham, the reason why he watched over Israel, why he kept bringing them back and rescuing them and helping them and sending prophets to them and doing all of this, the whole purpose of Israel is just shining out in the person of Jesus. He is the glory, the reason for Israel. And Simeon sees that. And he sees that the Savior is for the whole world. That he is a Savior who's going to bring light, revelation to the Gentiles. That those people who don't have that covenant relationship are going to come to an understanding. The gospel of Jesus Christ is simple. Jesus says, whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gospel. Believe on Jesus Christ, and you will live. It doesn't require centuries of tradition and ritual. It doesn't require an immense knowledge and understanding of God. It requires Jesus and faith in Him. And so Simeon lifts up the child Jesus, says, this is a light who is going to bring revelation to the Gentile, that Jesus is going to be the Savior for the whole world. And Joseph and Mary marvel. They are amazed. Now they've seen the angel, they've heard from God, they've been through this whole thing. This has all been a miracle. And they marvel again, once more, at what God has done. And Simeon blesses them, and he tells Mary that this child is going to be destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken again. You know, we know the things that Jesus is going to do. But he also says to Mary, a sword will pierce through your own soul. And I read that, and I think when Jesus was on the cross, and his mother Mary and the other Mary were there at the cross, and these other women, and they were watching Jesus die. And I'm amazed at what that mother must have suffered, watching her child die on the cross. Even if she knew why. Simeon leads us back to Hebrews as we've been going through all of the different songs of the prophets and of Mary and of John the Baptist and all these different people. They have all been in faith. And Simeon is acting in faith. He's heard from God, and he trusts in God. And I love the fact that when Simeon meets Jesus, he's satisfied. He knows God will do what he's promised. He doesn't have to see the fulfillment. He doesn't have to see the conclusion. He's seen what God promised him, and he's satisfied. God has promised us so many things that we can see in this life. He promised the Savior. We look in the words of Scripture, and we see the Savior. We see the promise. We see the fulfillment. And we see that God has been faithful to His Word. And because he's been faithful to his word, we don't have to see the fulfillment to know that he will fulfill it. We know because of what he's done in the past we know that His Word is good, and we trust in Him. Simeon's faith, Simeon's trust in God, and Simeon's joy in seeing the promise kept, in meeting the Christ, shows us how we should approach our relationship with God. We should trust. And we should rejoice in God our Savior because of everything that He has done. And we should be part of what it takes to take that message and take it to the world. Because Jesus is not just for those in that corner, not just for those on the inside, but He is a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, to the whole world, that all nations would hear of Him. Let's be a part of that. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Simeon's faith, for his love for You, for his righteousness and his devotedness. And I thank You, Lord, that he had so much faith that once he knew that You would keep this promise, he was satisfied. All Your promises were good because You had kept this one. And we thank You, Lord, for that example. And I pray that we would be able to take that and make that our guiding principle. Just ask for Your help as we try to be examples, spreading Your word, spreading the truth of Jesus, shining that light into a dark world, that all the world might see the light of the revelation that You have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.